Hello everyone, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're back. Another week has passed. I don't know where it went. I'm Patrice. I'm the interim host because the interim host is had a family emergency, and the actual host is AWOL. I don't know, disappeared again. No, I think it's at work doing making money, so that makes sense. So, with me also small panel today. I have another person who had a pretty rough week with like travel and conferences and work and stuff. I have Chuck, as always. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Patrice. You're right. We were just saying pre-show that conference weeks and meeting weeks are great because of the people you get to see and the things you get to do. And so if it sounds like we're complaining, we're not. It's just, but it takes you out of your routine, and we both have pretty full routines as is. So when you start carving multiple hours out, the things that you have in your normal routine just it seems like they grow exponentially. So, there's a bit of a catch-up period, not to mention a lack of sleep.
Lack of sleep, a lot of food and sometimes maybe alcohol, and also just like just the mental load and the input. I mean, you're meeting a lot of people, you're talking to people, you're processing all the information you get or answering questions from like customers or whatever you're doing. And so that I mean, your brain is basically running at 200% for a little while, and that's at some point it catches up to you.
And it does, and it didn't occur to me until the end of the week, but some of these small personal recording devices that can just you hang around your neck and they record everything and then will give you a transcript. I'm starting to see a potential use for them. I know, don't no emails please, that I might be capturing you without your permission, but really just for my own reference, because I remember talking to so many people. And there's so many things that I want to remember about those conversations. And at least at the moment, it's a bit of a fog. So, I'm starting to see a use for these.
Yeah, me too. It's like, I mean, especially like I was at our biggest like medical conference of the or medical trade show of the year in Germany, and I mean, at the end of one day, you don't remember who you talked to and what you talked about and who you want to catch up with after and all of that, let alone 3 days. Right? It's like just, I mean, nonstop, person after person after person after person. It's like, yeah, it would be super useful to have that, to simply go back and look at the recording and say, oh, okay, this is what I, where I need to maybe reach out to them again, or where I said I would check something out and then forgot about it. Because you also don't have
Yeah.
time to take notes usually in that situation, because there's another person already standing behind them and wants the next thing. So.
Yeah, exactly. And again, look, I know that could be a controversial comment, but this is the world we live in. And it feels because I thought a lot about it, unfortunately, a little bit late. But we're all trying to manage all this information. And we're debating how to use AI and should we be using AI and is using AI cool? And I don't, this gave me a little bit different angle on it. And so I've got to contemplate it a little more when my brain is a little less fuzzy. But it may be a new piece of gear in the in the kit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I'm a big fan of AI. I mean, not in every situation, not for everything. It's not all good, but it's also not all bad. Like there is, I think, as you said, there's some use cases where you're like even a normal human being would, if you had an assistant next standing next to you taking notes and whatever, even they wouldn't be able to keep up with everything. An AI can do that because it's just better at doing that and more has more processing power at the end of the day. So absolutely, yeah, I see that as well. I think it is a helpful tool in some situations.
Yeah, more on this as we go along, because it is interesting to take yourself out of your normal routine, your normal environment, put yourself in those, and then start to see, especially see some of these tools and services through a different lens. And it makes you potentially change your position or at least alter it a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And That's also one of the key takeaways from me from this week, that I talked a lot about AI because that's on a lot of people's minds, also in the medical field, of course. And it's really it was there was a lot of really good, very thoughtful content. I mean, yeah, also the usual where everybody puts AI in everything and you're like, okay. But also, yeah, some of it was actually useful and helpful and thoughtful and will be a benefit. So yeah, we'll see. Speaking of AI, let's jump into the articles. Actually, since we started with AI, to start with our last story that we had on the list, we got some details from New York Times about, the whole discussion about the AI struggles from Apple and what happened last year with the releases and going into this year even with delays and so on. And according to New York Times, a report, and I mean, they're still, I think, a somewhat reliable source for stuff like that. It all started in early 2023 when Gianandrea wanted Tim Cook to purchase more AI chips for development. Initially, they got approval as it is, but then Luca Maestri, back then still the CFO, not anymore, reduced the investment a little bit to less than half, and encouraged the team to make existing chips more efficient. And apparently, according to this at least, that lack of resources, of GPU resources, meant that they had to negotiate for computing power from like Amazon and Google and whatever, and that slowed them down. And that's one of at least one of the reasons why this happened. And as someone who works in a corporate environment, I can see that happening. Like, I don't know
I
how it is for
agree.
you. Yeah, but I mean, I've seen that. It's like I always tell it that way. Like, people come to us and they're like from our management are like, "Here's a pencil, here's a rubber band, please build me a Ferrari." That's usually how that goes.
I look at this, and of course, you always have to take these kind of articles with a big grain of salt, at least. But I'm like you. I could see it happening. If I want to engage in complete paranoid speculation, my brain is not so, and I'll blame my lack of sleep on it.
Yeah,
But
same.
doesn't that seem a little bit interesting if that's true, that all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but Luca decided to step down, and so did he step down, or was he, encouraged to step down? Now, that is just pure, raw, random speculation. But it seems like of all the things to cut the budget on, if this is true, that would be a really strange place to cut it, especially if the CEO has approved it.
I mean, yes and no, because I mean, at the end of the day, yes, the CEO approved it, but I mean, that approval can also be changed. Like, people can change their minds. And if the CFO says, I mean, I'm pretty sure Luca didn't just say no. There was probably a pretty good and thoughtful reason behind it that he said, no, I mean, they have technically all the money, or almost all the money in the world, even if they are right now, at least due to some stuff that's happening in the market this week. Probably it's not the most valuable company in the world, at least not right now, according to market valuation. I think Microsoft took over a couple of days ago again, but it's back and forth. It doesn't really matter. It's all fugazi, like to say. But I'm pretty sure there was a reason where they said, I mean, yeah, we can invest that, but then that's a lot of money that we somehow have to make back, right? Because I mean, that's something a lot of people forget. Every dollar that you invest in your business, you have to get back probably $1.50 or something for it, because otherwise it's not worth it. So it's not just, I mean, what I see that all the time where people are like, "Oh, can't we just hire another person?" Yeah, technically you can, but then you have to also make sure that whatever you pay sa their salary, whatever you pay them for salary, you make back. And if you can, great.
Yeah, I again, look, we're both reading the same article, and folks, you can read it too if you go to the link. But of all the people, spam risk, somebody's bothering me. I agree. It seems like this is something that somewhere somebody else had to sign off on. If you read the article, it leads you to believe that Tim said yes, Luca said no, so it was no. And
That's not how it works.
no, but and Luca, I mean, look, he's been amazing, and he has been an amazing CFO. But for the article characterizes it that, oh, he said, just be more efficient with the chips we're giving you or that you're getting. And it's like he'd be the last guy that I would take chip advice from, so the article I think is being a little unfair to him and unfair to the whole process. Somebody and look, at some point, what difference does it make? It was then. Okay, it seems our culture right now globally is so intent on finding somebody responsible for everything and pointing the finger and shaming them. Somebody made a business decision. It might not have been, in hindsight, might not have been the best one.
Who
And
knows? I
yeah,
mean,
and we
who
don't know if
knows?
this,
It could be Apple bought all those GPUs they needed and it still didn't matter. Like, I mean, we don't know that. We're not in a world where we can go back and just change it and see the alternative outcome. At least not yet. Who knows? I
We
mean,
need more
maybe
chips, Patrice.
we need more chips for that. Yeah, it could be that the AI will solve the multiverse like access or something. No, but I mean, who knows if that was at the end of the day the real reason. I can definitely see it being a contributing factor because if it's true that a lot of the CPUs were or sorry the GPUs were quite old, a couple like 5 years old, that they had to use and then they had to resort to using stuff from other vendors or from other competitors, whatever, that will slow you down at the end of the day. Did that matter or not? Who knows? It says in the article that especially Siri, apparently they had a problem that about a third of the requests were wrong. Well, that's probably why they didn't ship it, because that is pretty bad, but it is also pretty normal in a development of such a system. And I have a very small team. I wish we had 50,000 GPUs. I wish I had that much money to compute power to work with. Yeah, we had to build in a lot of safeguards to make sure that the information is correct. We were doing it on a very tiny speck of information. Like we're not doing the broad thing that Siri is. Like we're like very, very limited in the use case that we present. Like it's basically our user manual and the website from the hospital and stuff like that as information sources you can ask questions about. So it's very limited scope. Siri is, as we know, supposed to be quite broad. I mean, from controlling your phone, your Mac, sending messages, whatever, like controlling your home, like a ton of other booking appointments, whatever you want to do. So you can imagine that that is orders of magnitude more difficult to do properly and have it correct. And we know Apple is under a microscope a lot of times, so every mistake gets amplified. We saw it with Apple Intelligence even. The stupid notification thing, notification summaries where people are complaining that they're wrong sometimes. Yes, they were hilariously wrong sometimes, and still are sometimes, but it wasn't that bad. No, it wasn't.
No, oh, listen, I'm with you. I mean, I really think that that we all are doing a disservice to the companies, the services, and ourselves when we have these expectations that everything is going to pop out, 1.0 version is going to pop out, and it's going to be perfect. I think that people, the general public now, I mean, tech people, I think were very much aware of that. But the general public needs to understand that it is a 1.0 product. At some point you have to ship it, and it'd be wonderful if it were perfect, but it's not going to be. If you've ever been involved in software development, sort of to your point, Patrice, you have a budget, and you have software issues, and you have hardware issues. And sometimes you have to make decisions on, gee, I really wanted to do this, but I can't quite afford it. So I'm going to have to leave that for version two or the next step or go back and get more money to have it built. Can it be built? Yes, just not for that price.
I mean, or a combination of what you just said. Ship not ship it in version one, collect some user feedback and some money, and then build it into version two. Like
Exactly.
it's that's pretty normal. And even a company like Apple, they, I mean, at the end of the day, they are a company, a corporation for profit. So, I mean, do they have a lot of money and could waste it? Yes. But then the business at some point also wouldn't exist anymore.
Listen, it makes me crazy because I hear people kind of almost borderline complaining. Oh yeah, Apple had a great quarter. Apple made all the money. Okay, and Apple has all the money in the world, so they
Great for
should be able to
them.
do anything. Well, the thing is, that's how they got there. They didn't waste money. They didn't go out and buy things or invest in things that clearly, I mean, did
Ah,
they
they
make a couple?
did. They did
Well, they've,
sometimes. But they
yeah.
but they did it. I mean, it was a mistake in that case. It wasn't on purpose.
Right. Look, they took a shot at something. I mean, the old thing, if you're winning every battle, you're not fighting enough battles. And so
And that's what
they
Apple needs the
sure.
money for, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And so, I look at this and okay, so somebody made a decision. If you really feel, and look, we just did it. We gave focus to this particular issue, and I guess I feel j justified in saying, yeah, we probably need to look at it because we're trying to understand what happened, because Apple usually doesn't make these kind of mistakes. But at the same time, just okay, fine, let it go. Let's learn not to cut our chip budget by 50% and move on.
Yeah, as I said, I'm still not 100% sure that was the core reason. It might have contributed at the end to the delay, especially because if you're slower at doing things, then and you have to be fast. The last thing I want to mention from that article was they also mentioned that apparently, and I think I believe that some of the executives are saying, and probably Tim Cook first and foremost, maybe even Federighi, because I think he understands the business well enough. That I think they can afford that delay. And I think that is exactly the point. I mean, despite what pundits and analysts and some journalists are saying, oh, Apple is so behind, blah, 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 all of that crap. If you look at the market and you look at other systems like them, are they better in some aspects? Yes. I would say Alexa is in some aspects, in some instances, better. I think even Google Voice, there's others that are in some cases better. But the gap is not so big that you say, oh, Siri is completely unusable and crap and nothing works and blah, blah. And the others are 20 years ahead. I think the gap is not that big and the gap is not going to get bigger if they ship it 6 months later.
And I would just tack on to that and say, I have a hard time seeing somebody saying, I'm giving up my iPhone for phone X over here that, runs ChatGPT better, because it really doesn't. And we're
Especially not
talking about,
ChatGPT.
well, yeah, but we're talking about Apple's assistant here. I mean, Alec, sorry, the A lady almost did it. The A lady. Now we have the A-Lady Plus or whatever she's called, but the features aren't all there yet. So we're right back to where we started. That somebody announced something, they promised it, and now it they have they've announced it, it's out there, but it's really not the way that it was advertised. And yet we you haven't seen, oh my God, Amazon is doomed because the A-Lady Plus does not work like she's supposed to. But there are plenty of things out there. Oh my God, Apple sky is falling because Apple lost out on Apple Intelligence. No,
And
no.
exactly. And as the third is saying in the chat, Apple is never first to the party. They take their time. They have done sometimes things where they were first, and Siri was actually one of them, kind of. But it's not always being first, being best. I mean, there is always a risk, but that's for everybody, that there is a third company that we've never heard of that all of a sudden has it's kind of like the OpenAI that has the Uber assistant that does everything, buys you coffee and orders you your lunch and or organizes your trip. Chuck, you just tell it, hey, I need to go to here, here, and here, and it organizes everything for you, like travel, transport, hotel, whatever, does all of it. The personal assistant, like assistant AI, whatever. It's possible that there is a company who's going to do that, and it's not going to be Apple. Yes, that is a risk, but that's always the risk. There's always the next big thing, and that might happen. There's been a lot of companies that, I mean, Apple kind of happened that way, right? There was existing computer companies, and then Apple came around, and then
Yeah,
IBM came
and
around. So.
right. Well, and I mean, Apple, the graphic, well, I guess I'm slipping into the Mac era, but they brought the graphical interface.
To the
And
masses, yes.
everybody's like, "Oh my God, oh, this is wonderful because now nobody has to learn command line." And then somebody, I'm not quite sure who, well, let's just say borrowed it. And I'll put that in parentheses, and they sold it in a to a different market in a different fashion, and people bought it even though it was borderline inferior, perhaps, maybe, in
But I mean,
somebody's opinion.
but there's other examples where I don't know. Thinking of one like the PlayStation. Sony invented the PlayStation. Apple had the what was it called? The Pippin? Pippin.
Pippin?
Yeah,
Pippin.
and it was crap. And then someone else came around and had a better device, and people moved to that. So it's like that's always the game. Like someone else, like every company has to face that is around long enough, has to face the truth that another company might at any point come up with something that's better than what you have. And either it's you and you push the envelope forward and hope that nobody else gets there before you, or doesn't get it right in the way that you get it right, so you can stay in business, or you're out of business eventually. I look at IBM. What's left of them? They're still around, but it's not the same. So
No,
yeah, and it's the
no.
same thing here. Like there might be an assistant out there eventually, but for now, I think that the gap is not that big. That Apple can't take the extra year, whatever it takes to get it right. If they're taking another 10 years, then we have a problem. I'm pretty sure.
I agree. And everybody's moving ahead. We're seeing fits and starts and bumps by
Oh yeah.
the large language models.
Yes.
One week this is hot, the next week that's hot. As we record this, at least, and I may be a little behind because of being borderline offline for a week, but OpenAI is now doing image generation, and suddenly the tech news is filled with, oh, Midjourney is struggling to keep up with OpenAI, when 2 weeks ago Midjourney was like
Well, the bee's
the
knees.
Cadillac. Yeah. And Adobe, is continually improving their things. That's a little bit different animal, but it's all in the same area. So you just every it's going to be a jockeying. It's going to be like a car race, where somebody's ahead at lap 5, somebody else is ahead at lap 10. Then somebody may crash into the wall and they're out of the race. It'll be fun. It's going to be fun to watch.
You know what's also fun to watch? The next article. Because I thought we should talk a little bit about the iPhone Fold, because that's an interesting idea. According to a rumor, I've heard about it here or there, but it seems to be a little bit more concrete, I would call it. The next year, basically, earliest next year, we will get a foldable iPhone, probably iPhone Fold, they call it. There's apparently also a similar concept for the iPad. Okay, not a big surprise that you can do that as well. But that might be a little bit harder, and I can absolutely see why, because the bigger the screen, the harder it will be to produce perfectly. So that probably gonna take a while. Are you like, is that something you're interested in at all? Foldable phone?
I don't know. It's one of those things like I don't see it. And I was the one that asked you to bring this article because I had an experience yesterday on the plane that sort of solidified my thinking on this. Someone in the row ahead of me had a foldable, and they were watching a movie. Okay. Now, what they were doing is they had the foldable open and they were holding it. This is not a foldable phone, folks, but you'll get the idea. Okay. They're holding it like this. All right. There's no way that they could sit it down. Other people had their phones, watching all here, sitting on the table. This gentleman, there was no way he could sit it or prop it or anything. So he's holding it. I mean, I have to think that by about the 45th minute, his arm has got to be getting tired. Plus the fact that, as he would move the phone just a little bit, as you naturally would, as the plane jostles, you could see the fold. You could see the distortion in the image that he was watching on the screen. So I looked at it and I thought, okay. Oh, and by the way, the other thing too, it's still 16:9 aspect ratio. So there are even bigger black bars, above and below. And so, I looked at this and I thought, if this were a production device, maybe because I'm a big believer in the more screen you have, the more productive you can be. But at the same time as a consumption device, and so somebody's going to have to come up with a very clever case or design or something that this could be propped. Otherwise, you're going to be trying to look straight down on your desk at this. And if it sounds like I'm being picky, I'm not. I'm evaluating what the reality would be. I tend to use an iPad to watch anything on a plane, and the iPad props up for me and looks right at me, and I don't have to hold it.
Because you don't have a
So,
Vision Pro yet.
well, yeah, well, don't you start. I've got
No, I started
I
that.
have enough problems with some of our other friends. So I look at it and I think, all right, I'm not sure exactly what I'm gaining. Apple's version, if Apple makes a version, hey, I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to see, because I'm not that bright. They have to see the same issues that I see,
No,
and how are they
absolutely.
going to solve them? So I'm anxiously waiting to see why I would want an iPhone Fold or whatever they'll call it. Not impossible, but it just at the moment, the iterations or executions I've seen on a foldable don't hold that much interest for me.
It was like up until like a week or two ago, I would have said, I'm with you. Having seen a bunch of them, a couple friends had them at the conference, and how they use them, and the different form factors that they had, because they're different devices from different manufacturers. I've kind of changed my mind on them because I'm liking them to basically a flip phone. A flip phone, but instead you have the like the screen and the keyboard, you have a full screen. And I saw some really cool uses for them where I'm like, you want to show like a picture, and I mean, if you want to show it and you want to make it bigger, you flip the phone open and you have a bigger screen and everybody can see it and stuff like that. And I'm like, that is actually a very cool thing that I can have as a normal. I mean, it was basically a normal sized, like one of them at least was a normal sized phone. But then you could flip it open and it was twice the size, and you could use it either way and it was fine. And I think that is actually a pretty cool use case to have. And I think the hardware things, I think Apple can work out. I mean, if you look at any Apple device, Vision Pro, AirPods Max, whatever, I think the one thing that Apple is really probably the best in the world right now is engineering. They will engineer the heck out of that, and they will find a way that if you open it, it stays open with magnets or whatever it is, so that it's like somehow if you prop it open on your table or whatever, put it somewhere, it stays open as long as you need it. Please don't engineer it like the AirPods Pro, where if you drop them, they shoot out. I don't know. They must have an ejection system or something built in, because it's like they always shoot around it through. No, but it's like, They find really clever solution. The Vision Pro is a great example for that. If you look at that, that is an engineering marvel. Is it probably a little bit over-engineered? Yeah, probably. But it's, I think that part Apple can, if anybody can figure it out, it's Apple. So I can see it. I can see it. Like an iPhone and a iPad mini in one. Not too heavy. I think, I mean, there's tons of stuff to figure out. Not, it shouldn't be too heavy. It must be stable enough, as you said. It can't break after half a year, something like that. It must feel really like a very good piece of technology. There's a million things that Apple has to figure out, but I believe the if someone can figure it out, it's Apple. I don't trust the others, but Apple can.
No, I agree with that. I agree. The one thing that I just really have a hard time, no matter how good your engineering is, unless you have developed a brand new material, is the crease. Because inevitably there's going to be a crease. And so if I were going to buy a new computer monitor, and somebody said, well, there's going to be this line down the middle that's going to be visible part of the time to you. It's like, no. If I went to buy a new TV, same thing. If I went to the cinema and, you know, there's the big crease down the screen, I'm going to say, excuse me, I want my money back, or at least a pretty healthy discount. So now that would be for the things that you would be looking at full screen. Could I deal with that fold? Excuse me. Could I deal with that? Yeah, that issue in a spreadsheet, in a word processing document? Maybe.
Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe I'd rather not, but maybe. But on a consumption device,
No, absolutely. I'm with
non-starter.
you. I mean, I think that's a non-starter, and Apple knows that. I think it's more a. But there is devices out there that have flexible screens. That solve that problem. And LG, I think, is selling them already. Like manufacturing, whatever, you can buy them. Like so they are out there. The problem so far has been reliability, like over time. That they eventually break because of the stresses that are on it. And I think that is where Apple can come in and say, okay, how do we keep it open? How do we reduce stress on this on the screen so it doesn't break after 2 years, stuff like that. So I think that is where Apple, because material science is one area where Apple is really good. So I think that is something working with LG or whatever, Samsung, there's a couple, yeah, it's probably those two. Like as a display manufacturer, I'm sure they can work together and come up with something. When that will be, other question. Will it be successful? Also, I don't know.
Well, and I have to ask, because I have yet to see a foldable that has been in use for any period of time that doesn't have a crease. So have you seen, I mean, look, when they're brand new, sure, you know, but 3 months, 6 months, they all seem to develop that fold.
They're at least, the ones I saw were at least 6 months old and I didn't see it. So
Okay, then
those were
that's
not
great.
bad. But
Then
I mean, 6 months is also nothing, right? I mean, most people these days use their phones for, let's say, anywhere from 2 to 5 years. Probably average of 3 to 4. So, and that's probably what Apple has to aim for and say, okay, it can't break within that time frame. If it happens after 4 or 5 years, I think a lot of people, yeah, it still sucks and still not very good for the environment, but maybe a compromise worth having.
I mean, we'll see. You know, to me, it's going to scream AppleCare.
Lawsuit. No.
Well, no, yeah, well, yeah, that too. There's all, you know, a fly lands on your phone, and there's going to be a lawsuit. But this is going to be yet another way that Apple can sell AppleCare and have it be a decent value, assuming that it covers that kind of thing. So stay tuned, folks. But just it's I think it's one of those, like so many tech things, just buyer beware. You know what you're getting into.
And I mean, you're right. The use cases, we'll see. I mean, I'm kind of still in two minds there. I'm like, on one hand, I can see some stuff. Spreadsheets are actually one. Like, if you're on, I do a ton of stuff on my phone. Like, I'm Like when I'm traveling, especially, I'm working from my phone. Like Teams is open or emails or whatever. And having more screen will, or even I was at a conference and opened a massive Excel sheet that I have because we needed to discuss something. And I didn't have my Mac with me. It was like in a car somewhere, at the conference center. So, I would have liked to have the possibility to just flip it open and have more space and everybody can see it better. Yeah, I mean, it is useful sometimes.
Yes, I listen, absolutely. And God, like everything else we talk about, if it's the right device for you, then it's the right device for you. And you have to figure out which compromises are important.
And I think that's exactly the point here. The point is not it is, oh, this is the next iPhone and everybody's going to switch to it. I think we've reached with smartphones ma market saturation. I mean, look at the devices. There is barely a difference between any of them. They all have multiple cameras. They all have big screens. They have beautiful screens. They have battery life that's more than sufficient. Like they, I mean, the features that you can add to a modern smartphone, they're kind of running out of. And so if you want to go to the next level, you need to diversify and say, okay, there's not just one thing, there's multiple. And Apple did that, or everybody did that, by okay, we have different screen sizes and we have different feature sets and battery lives and whatever thicknesses, all of that. This is just another variant of that. It's like, okay, we add another tier basically to it and say, okay, now we have the Pro Max and then there's a level up, the foldable thing, even bigger screen. It can you do even more? That's literally what it is. It's not magic.
And there's one other thing that we haven't talked about, and I have no idea because I'm definitely not qualified, and I'm not sure either one of us are to talk about the younger generation and the way they use their phones.
Oh,
And it would
true.
be interesting to gather a bunch of kids, and I do mean kids, because they're the ones that are going to age into or
Yes.
use of this. And so how do you use your phone? And would a little crease down the center bother you? I
Probably
mean,
not.
we're tech
Yeah.
people and we're
Yeah.
very precise and we
Yeah.
want things the way we want them.
We want the beautiful. I mean, how many freaking people are running around with like completely broken phone screens? I don't think the
Now
crease is a big problem.
that's a great point, and I had never thought of it that way, Patrice, but that is a great point. You're right. Why they won't put a screen protector on is a whole nother discussion. But it is amazing to me how many people, and as long as it continues to function, they'll look right past those cracks. So you just may have solved the whole foldable phone problem right there.
Maybe it doesn't matter. It's like, okay, if it breaks after half a year, as long as the phone is still usable, people will keep using it.
There has to be an app out there somewhere that simulates cracks on your iPhone
Oh
screen.
no, there is one. Yes, I've seen that.
I'm
I've seen
sure.
that.
Okay,
There is
so folks, go try that out. And if the cracks don't bother you, don't drop your phone, but
No.
try this.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't bother you, maybe you're a candidate for a foldable
Yes. Yeah, maybe.
phone.
Maybe you are. I think we should do some cool things. That's all. Let's switch to that because I know you have a hard time, so let's do
All
that.
right. All right. Let me see if I can find the link to my cool thing. Because this is.
This is.
Whoop, whoops. This is sort of a perennial pick for me. Sorry, I'm having an issue. There we go. No, that's not it. Darn. All right, I'll put it in a second, but I'll talk about it.
Okay, talk
But
about it first.
let's see if I can stand up just a little bit. Right
Ooh,
there. That
nice.
is the symbol for the Masters tournament, which is happening this weekend. And I tell you what, if you want to see an amazing sports app that is, now there are a lot of reasons that it's so good, but if you want to see an amazing sports app and let alone the event itself, which is just like a national holiday at our house, But the app is amazing because it has so many different options for you to watch, because there's so much action going on around 18 holes of golf on the course.
You
So
wouldn't
you
think
can
so,
pick.
but yes.
Yeah, but so if you have your favorite players, if you want to see the players who are in the lead, if you want to see certain holes, which at Augusta National is, a big thing, you can see all of those things on the app. I mean, I've with all due respect to the broadcast, they can't offer all those options. The app can, plus the fact it is just flat out gorgeous, and it gives you access to so much of the information. So if you're a golfer, check this out this weekend. If you're not, check it out anyway, because just the beauty of Augusta National is like legendary. I've had the privilege to go 3 times. And I can tell you that there are a few places on Earth where heaven intersects Earth, and Augusta National is one of them. It's just unbelievable. So I will get the link here while Patrice talks and get it in the chat room. But yeah, you will not be disappointed.
You will be entertained.
Absolutely.
Literally. Okay. I'm gonna switch mine actually and talk also about entertainment. Mythic Quest, just I think a week or two ago, wrapped up the season, and yeah, season 4, I think, if I remember correctly. And yeah, I mean, if you don't know about Mythic Quest, it's been around for a little while. It was one of the early Apple TV Plus shows. I think might have even been an initial launch, if I remember correctly. The initial set of what they announced. It's kind of a game studio show. But it's not. So, yeah, it's a game studio that's pr like producing a really awesome online roleplay game, massive multiplayer online MMORPG, massive multiplayer online roleplay game. But it's more about the people behind it and the relationships and creative people coming together with business people and how that does or does not work sometimes very well. It's about like the let's say the two main character, Ian and Poppy, very different in a sense. Like he is the rich, very creative, very eccentric person, and she's the coder that's kind of, yeah, a little bit socially awkward and shy, but is like really, really good at what she's doing. But also does basically all only this, like she doesn't have a life, kind of, at least in the beginning, almost. And how they and a lot and a really good cast of like other characters. It's like Brad, for example, like a sleazy kind of type of person, really hilarious HR. It's kind of The Office meets, I don't know, something else like gaming. It's hard to really nail down, but it's a comedy, but it's also very deep. It's really funny, and there's the, as I said, the fourth season now is out, or is completely out. If you want to binge watch it now, if you've seen it. I just like how the characters are evolving over time. And there's one episode especially, I'm not gonna tell you much about it, but I can tell you it's a murder mystery episode. Because that's one thing that Mythic Quest does very well sometimes. They have one-off episodes that are just completely random, kind of. It's kind of like Star Trek. They don't fit the bigger plot line. Well, they don't. It's not that they don't fit the plot line. They're kind of outside of the normal plot line that you have throughout the season, but they're really well done and really fun. They did a pandemic, like right when the pandemic happened and everything kind of shut down. They did an episode where they were basically did it on Zoom. That is Zoom episode, but it was fun, like literally. How hilarious Zoom calls can be sometimes and stuff like that. And that the murder mystery one is also like very cool and plot twists and everything. So yeah, season 4, it's out there. Go watch it.
I blame Ken Ray of macOS Ken for getting me into Mythic Quest, because I would never have given this a second look. a show about a game development company. Sorry, that's just not my thing.
Yeah, same.
And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. The pandemic episode you're talking about was absolutely genius. I have not watched this season yet. I was sort of holding it off because I will binge it at some point.
Now you
But
can.
I've been really looking forward to it, and I don't say that lightly, because it just seems like I have less and less time to devote to this kind of thing. But yeah, it's if you think it's not for you, give it a try anyway, because you will find it, I think you will find it very entertaining. And frankly, even though there's a lot of hyperbole in there, God, I see so many similarities between places I've worked and people I've worked with and the characters that it's just like, oh yeah, that's that guy.
That's kind of, I really like that. I mean, I think that it's probably the same for you, that the whole gaming aspect kind of like turned me off a little bit in the beginning, or before I watched it, I was like, it doesn't sound like something I would enjoy. But it's really not that important. I mean, other than like cutscenes here and there, and yes, it is in the context of a game, and there's like some influences on the story. It's not about the game for the most part. It's literally the office. And as you said, like you recognize, you're like, oh yeah, I've had an HR person like that, or I've had an inappropriate boss like that, or someone who should go to jail for what they're doing and stuff like that. And that's literally like, yeah, there's parallels to real world, and I think that's what makes it really fun.
Now, I want you to please note, folks, that I did not mention any particular character, real or, fictional, that, I just made a general comment. Patrice is going for the throat.
I mean, I'm not saying that they're 100% exactly like that, but you're like, you see those kind of stereotypes sometimes in other places. We're like, okay, maybe not the same, but like, okay, goes in that direction at least.
And the terrifying thing is, once in a while, you see the stereotype in yourself, and it's like,
Oh
oh
yeah.
no.
Oh. Yeah, I think I have a little bit of Poppy in me. I'm not gonna lie. That can be me. Good. I think we should wrap this up. Thank you, Chuck, for being here, for doing this with me, despite all the chaos of the week and everything that was happening. It was good to catch up with everybody, see what's happening, and kind of empty our brains a little bit maybe as well.
Yeah, and I feel bad. I've missed the last couple shows. So I was, if there was any way I could make it, I wanted to make sure. I just, sorry that it's just two of us, but this has been a great conversation. We solved all the problems, right?
Of course, all of them, all of them. Like the world is now the better place. The stock market is going up by 15 million% as we speak. Of course. Right, that's what
Really?
happens. Yeah,
Okay.
of course. That's what happens. No, I wish. Tell people where they can find more about you, and I'm guessing soon the NAB shows that you probably recorded, right?
Yes, MacVoices.com is where you go to find everything. I'm playing a little bit of catch up with some shows we have in the can, but starting sometime next week, you'll start to see some of the interviews I shot at NAB, which, for those who don't know, is the National Association of Broadcasters show in Las Vegas. Interesting the way the show has developed. I was able to connect with some old friends, got to talk to some new people with new products. And so it's not like the barrage of CES coverage because just fewer things apply to our audience. But the ones that do, I think, are really interesting. And there are also some discussions in there about AI and what it's doing to the video world. And the some people are very much thumbs up, some are very much thumbs down, and some are like kind of, well, we need to figure out and wait and see. So all of that and a lot more coming up on Mac Voices. We do a live show Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern on youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And lastly, you can find me on pretty much all the socials as at Chuck Joyner. Thank you, Patrice, for being here. I'm glad we got to do this.
Yeah, me too. Me too. We definitely had to catch up. It just felt like it. And I really like NAB. I mean, you would think it's not for you. We're not in broadcast, whatever. There's nothing relevant. But in reality, There's tons of stuff that we can benefit from, or that will eventually simply trickle down to what we're doing. I mean, I remember the whole thing with like NDI being a big thing at NAB, and you talking about it. And these days we have it in ECAM. We can use NDI sources and stuff like that. So, yeah, it might take a little while, but if eventually even that stuff will, even the very advanced stuff will trickle down to what we use. And there's tons of small stuff, right? Where it's like, yeah, that's helpful.
Well, and you're right. It's amazing just how much stuff does. I mean, okay, you want it now and it's $10,000. And you just, well, that's just crazy. I can't afford that. And then 3 years later, it's like, okay, for $5 a month, you can have all this power and more. And so, you know, just sort of be aware of it out there and what is becoming available and eventually becoming affordable.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me every week here on the big sh on the Mac Show, actually. See, since I started with the big with the Mac Show this week, I got confused. On the big on the seeing it again. On the Mac Show on Fridays, on the big show on Thursdays. I should have just kept it in that order. Would have been fine. Everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, and Jeff and I have a really cool show, Retro Rewatch. I like to show the mug. I really love that mug. We're rewatching Stargate SG-1 right now for the foreseeable future. We might at any point turn left, turn right, do something other, come back to it. No guarantees. It's not a Stargate rewatch show, it's a retro rewatch show. So, episode part two of the Tok'ra should be out. So that's season two, episode 12, I think will be. Of sorry, SG-1, the Tok'ra part two, where we get the resolution, what happened. And that should be out maybe even tonight or later somewhere over the weekend. Depends on how well my brain still works and whether I can get the edit done or not. Yeah, so Retro Rewatch, really cool show with Jeff. And then yeah, you will see us next week. I'm traveling again, so maybe on Thursday, at least for me. I hope Jeff or Jeff's pa family is better, parents are better, and he will be back next week. And until then, yeah, join us next week. Talk to you soon.